Here on Sunday Breakfast, we've often brought you stories of how people of faith came to their faith, and in the case of ministers, what that call from God was like. But how do family members react when that person announces that they've found faith or are becoming a priest? This coming Thursday in Chelmsford Cathedral, the reprint of a book will be launched. It's called Dear Nicholas, A Father's Letter to His Newly Ordained Son. It was the gift, a book written by Michael Henshall, which he gave to his son Nicholas as he became a priest in 1988. Nicholas Henshall is now the Dean of Chelmsford Cathedral.
It's a bit extraordinary, 31 years later, that letter, as it was, that my dad wrote to me when I was first ordained, is about to come out yet again in print, but with a few additions from me.
He was a bishop, I believe?
Dad was 20 years a parish priest in Manchester and then 20 years a bishop in Liverpool. He was David Shepherd's assistant bishop for 20 years, and that was an amazing relationship. And when I was ordained, and that was very much my own journey, and Dad says this at the beginning of the book, he thought, how am I going to mark this? Do we buy some special stuff or whatever? And he thought, no, I'm going to write a letter. Now, Dad wasn't into books. He thought they were kind of vanity projects, really. So he never really wrote for publication. And on the day of my ordination in 1988, he presented me with this very large A4 size bound series of sheets of paper, which was Dear Nicholas. And it's a series of 9 reflections on what he'd experienced in his, by then, 30-odd years as a priest and a bishop, and kind of advice to somebody beginning that journey. The irony for me, as the book's republished, is I'm exactly the same age now as Dad was then. You know, as he says, I think, in the book, as I look towards the finishing post, and that's where I am. You know, I've got 8-9 years of full-time ministry to go, God willing. It was a really interesting moment to sit down with that book a few years ago, read it again and think, this feels really contemporary. This doesn't feel like, you know, the 1980s. And I think that's partly because Dad was kind of pretty mainstream. And at that point, the C of E was beginning to be rather less mainstream in some pretty unhealthy ways, to be honest. So I think soon after Dad published the book, his kind of theology was looking a bit too mainstream. Oh, we don't do that sort of thing. We're all terribly liberal now. Interestingly, reading it today, you think this sounds like it could have been written yesterday. And I've only made the slightest of changes to the text to make it feel okay. And a couple of years ago, I was contributing some chapters to a book about cathedrals. And I got to know the publisher and I said, any chance? And he said, this is great. So he invited me to respond to it. And as I began to write, and I do a lot of writing for periodicals and journals and things, but extended writing is quite difficult. What I ended up doing was not trying to respond to Dad, but just 3 chapters with me saying, this is what I think. This is my vision of where ministry is going. It's congruent with what Dad said, but seeks to build on those foundations.
You mentioned the sort of 10 little chapters that he wrote for you. Will it keep fresh and coping with change? Is there one or two that still resonate with you completely that you, every now and again during your ministry, you think, Dad was right?
Yeah, a chapter that's always stood out is the one about beholding. And the phrase, which I think's actually in a different chapter that's always stuck out, is a story he tells of various vicars and various people responding to them. And somebody says, our vicar turned up and he's got eyes within. That sense of somebody who's got depth and spirituality. And I think his chapter on beholding is a real work of art because it's really saying, do we really take any notice? Do we pay attention? In Christian ministry, paying attention is kind of the heart of it. I'd love to write a whole book on paying attention. I'm so excited about the theme. Do priests behold, pay attention to their context, to their colleagues, to their parishioners? Do actually people who come to church pay attention to the glory of God? You know, I think it's a wonderful chapter about something that sounds very simple, but in our busy world, we rarely do.
Have you come across people that have actually read it?
Obviously, I had lots of little copies when I was first ordained, and I lent them out to people or gave them to people, or you could still buy them in those days. There was one bishop who used to give it to all the people he ordained. So every now and then I'd bump into somebody, the most surprising people, who'd say, oh, I read this book a long time ago, and it had a real influence. So again and again, that even happened a few months ago at a service in the cathedral. So I find that really moving. And some of those stories are, you know, this made a decisive impression on me at a crucial moment in my journey to faith or journey to vocation to the priesthood. I think what I've also found moving, and there's somebody sitting upstairs in the cathedral office today who's had this from me, I do a lot of work with people exploring their vocation. When it feels right, I give them a bootleg copy that I print off my computer. From now on, they've got to buy their own copy, right? But it's been very moving doing that and getting people's reactions. And I think that often helps people, particularly at that stage. My sister's a head teacher, a very fierce head teacher up in County Durham. She would say it's a fantastic book to give to teachers, because although it's about faith and rooted in Christian spirituality, it's actually about the whole business of leadership and nurture and developing people. It doesn't go on about very churchy things. It's actually about the world-facing nature of the church. And I think at a time like ours, when it's really easy to think we're just training vicars to run churches rather than to be community priests, it's really important to hear the kind of things Dad's saying, which is precisely why we're launching the book at a St. Melitus evening in the cathedral. You know, it's going to be evensong, followed by a few canapes and wine and the launch of the book, and then St. Melitus students will be there just before they start their studies. There's a picture my wife found recently going through our old albums of actually Dad giving me the original letter in my little garden in my curate's house in Blythe in Northumberland. And I think I was quite puzzled. I had no idea what this was. And the first time I read it, it wasn't quite that I burst into tears, but it felt precisely like that offering of love, of hope, of confidence, and as a real encouragement. So for me, it's always had an emotional content. And he was a wild man, my dad. He terrified some people. I think I got over that sometime in midlife. He died 2-3 years ago, and I was with him when he died. A very beautiful death. But the death of a disciplined priest, how's this? My sister and I, we'd been sat 5 days and five nights with him up to that point, and we knew it was very close to the end. And it was evening time, and we just said, let's say evening prayer. And as we started evening prayer, Dad hadn't spoken for about 2 weeks at this point, and he was incredibly thin. And this incredibly bony hand came out of the sheets, and he made the sign of the cross deliberately. And he was saying, even though I can't speak, even though I can't hear, I'm still present. And I thought, gosh, you're still scary. And this is the day he died. That was very beautiful to know that he was still deeply in touch with the God he loved, but also with his family.
The very Reverend Nicholas Henshaw speaking to Andrew Merchant, and it was about Nick's father, the special book he wrote for him. It's called Dear Nicholas, a father's letter to his newly ordained son, and it's published this week with an epilogue by Nicholas and an introduction from the Bishop of Chelmsford. And Nicholas mentioned in his interview how that letter led to one person he knows of reading it and as a result becoming a priest, and that person is the Reverend Canon John Howden of Rittle. It was also the first presenter of the Sunday Faith programme here on BBC Essex in 1986. Good morning and welcome back to BBC Essex, John.
Good morning, Peter.
Good to see you. How did you come across the letter?
Well, actually, not strictly true that I became a priest, because I'd already been a priest for a while. However, in 1989, when it was originally published, I bought a copy. Now, how I bought a copy, I forget now, but I did buy a copy and read it, and it blew my mind. It really did.
How was it so inspirational to you?
Well, it was the way that it was phrased. It was very spiritual, and that was helpful, of course, but it was the practicality of it. It was practical stuff, which a priest could take, a young priest could take, and go into his parish and say, today I'm going to whatever. And there's one chapter that sticks out for me, Nicholas just mentioned. His mind is called Loitering. And the Bishop of Warrington at that time, Nick's father, actually encouraged priests to loiter with intent. Now, there's a thought.
What's that like, eavesdropping?
Sort of. But it was the sort of thing, for instance, when I was a parish priest elsewhere in Essex, I used to go and sit on the wall outside the village hall at tipping out time of the school next door. And that meant I was sitting on the wall, kids and parents were passing me by, grandparents wheeling the prams and all that, and a number of conversations took place, number of little things that happened, number of kids who came up and say, hey, when you were in school the other day, you said, and all that. That's loitering.
I see. So, but it's also picking up on people's problems and issues.
Yep, absolutely.
And was this something you were then able to advise them on? Is that how you dealt with it?
That was the sort of thing that happened. Or one could just have a conversation and people go away, and then a couple of weeks later you meet them again and they say, that was so helpful. I didn't say anything. I was just there.
You were just listening?
Yeah.
How interesting.
And that's the important bit about it, that you were listening, using your ears and saying, this is important.
Nicholas spoke about listening. He also spoke about love.
Yeah.
And the love that he feels. Where do you think that love comes from?
It comes from God. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind about that. The prime love that we all have for other human beings, our other existences, is from God. And if we acknowledge that, then we have something very special indeed. I don't know how to quantify it. You can't. But it's just fantastic. And when it happens in a group of people, there's a spirit there which is just mind-blowing.
And can it be overwhelming?
Yes, yes. Tears, laughter, all sorts of stuff happens. Maybe I'm getting a bit old for that sort of thing, but no, I'm not. It's still there, and it's still so precious, so precious. And that's what's so good about that book, and why in a conversation with Nicholas a few years ago now, I discovered that Nicholas Henshall was the Dear Nicholas. I didn't know it until that moment. It was only a few years ago, and we were having this conversation together, and I said, you ought to republish it.
And he
Thursday
has.
Is going to tell the day.
And the book is called Dear Nicholas, A Father's Letter to His Newly Ordained Son. John, thank you so much.